Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right, 888-688-WALT. It's time for you to call in and tell me how you're celebrating Pride Month. Are you looking at your secret pictures of David and Sean Cassidy? Are you looking at your secret pictures of Jodie Foster? Did you reveal to your significant other your bisexual urges? Coming up in just seconds, Thea Landon, smutty book author, will share with us bisexual stories. She calls herself a smutty author. It's okay. Welcome, I'm Walter M. Sterling. Oh my gosh, look at this beautiful weekend. Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of stolen vehicles, missing airbags, the quest for PBA cards, and an eavesdropping McDonald's manager. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. The most popular songs for exotic dancers. Coming up later, Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night.
Coming up in Florida Stories, we have a bill that would outlaw left-lane driving, a very real sighting of UFOs. We're still finding shipwrecks with golden treasure like it's the Goonies. We have a problem with the dude taking upskirt videos. And if you're going to kill your lover's wife, the worst part is trying to get all the DNA out of your clown suit. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Story.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Lock up your daughters. Lock up your wives. The people of Walmart. Coming up later, Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
He released a hot, steaming pile of crap.
All right, now I'm warning you. I'm not in the mood to work tonight. I'm not in any mood to deal with anything. I'm warning you. Therefore, if I don't feel the right amount of responsiveness from you on the toll-free line, the emails, we're going to have Motown Monday or Two for Tuesday. Motown Monday or Two for Tuesday. It's going to be up to you, but I'm not going to work that hard tonight because I had the Saturday night from hell on Route 80 in the hellscape known as Pennsylvania. The dark, forbidden hellscape known as Pennsylvania. 888-688-WALT. And I have an email address. The email address is Walter M. Sterling. Walter M. Sterling at gmail.com. That's where I want to see your Sterling snap. Right now on Facebook, at Walter Sterling on Facebook, you can see I put up about five or six pictures of me with major Fox television stars, including the guy who wears the pink suit, and Brian Kilmeade, who is the funniest person in morning television and gets no credit for it. He gets no credit for it. Where's my mic? There. Send me a Sterling snap. I've got snaps up for you right now at Facebook, Walter Sterling or Walter M. Sterling. I forget. It's S-T-E-R. You couldn't believe the people who spell it S-T-I-R. It's S-T-E-R. S-T-E-R. And I use that stage name because I figured it'd be too hard for people to spell my real name. Instead, they're having trouble spelling Sterling. Why is this so difficult? Why is it that I'm doing this for a living? I don't know. But I'd love to see whatever you're looking at right now. So pick up that overpriced phone. The one, oh, we have to get the one with the advanced camera with the three lenses. For what? To take pictures of your fat aunt or your fat butt? Why? There's no need for you to have a fancy camera. Look at your life. No need. Let me see what you're looking at right now. And email it to Sterling Snaps. That's the subject. And the email address is waltermsterling@gmail.com. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. It's Pride Month. We're going to celebrate with lesbians in space. We're going to celebrate with stupid studs in space. Oh, yes, we're equal now. Stupid studs in space and lesbians in space. All of that's coming up for you. Plus, coming up in just seconds, smutty book author, my favorite guest ever. Thea Landon is going to discuss bisexuality and read us a passage from one of her amazing Bisexuals in Space novels. That's right. She writes erotic novels in space. This is what every all-night listener wants. This is what every late-night radio listener wants. And yet, we're on one night a week. What the hell do I have to do to get on five nights a week? Why is this a mystery to American radio executives coast to coast? Here, write this down. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
All right, I warned you. It's going to be Motown Monday or Two for Tuesday if you don't snap up and engage. Send me an email right now, whatever you're looking at, your Sterling Snap. You have pictures of me on the internet at Walter Sterling. There's no M. Walter Sterling at Facebook. Walter Sterling. I put up a whole bunch, like with Fox stars. No, it's not an oxymoron. And I'll post it on Tuesday on Instagram after I recover on Monday, because on Monday I don't do any work. Thea Landon. Thea Landon is my very favorite guest. I have a profound relationship with Thea on Twitter. And Thea is a smutty book author. I say that because that's what she calls herself. Thea Landon, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, Walter. How are you doing?
We're celebrating Pride Month with Thea Landon. Thea Landon revealed on one of our past Sterling on Sunday shows that she claims to be a bisexual. Is that correct? Do I have that right? I don't want any lawsuits.
Yes, you do. You have that right.
Do you feel you committed fraud when you got married, or did you reveal that to your current husband?
I did reveal that, but I will admit that sometimes, I don't know if guilty is the right word, but I do acknowledge that I have not faced the same sort of struggles that people in openly homosexual relationships have.
I can't believe you just used the phrase, I don't feel guilty, or I do. I didn't think you had any guilt in you, Thea Landon, based on the books you write, how you've denied your family knowledge of what you do for a living. And
there's a difference between guilt and shame.
I
shame
don't believe,
was, yes. A little guilt here and there, maybe.
I don't believe you have any shame at all, and I'm glad to hear you don't either. But guilt is a very different thing. When you revealed to your current husband or your most recent husband that you have bisexual tendencies, did he say what most men would say, which is, thank God, can I watch? Or did he have some other questions?
No, honestly, and this is not to disparage him at all, but he just sort of nodded and we moved on. It was just, you know, a part of our pasts like anything else. We didn't really spend a lot of time discussing it.
Did he reveal bisexual tendencies to you?
No, he did not.
Were you disappointed?
No, I mean, I didn't expect it. And also, for better or worse, I think when it comes to bisexuality, I don't want to say anyone has it easier or harder than anyone else, but I definitely think it's different, women versus men.
Why?
Oh, geez, there's a whole lot of reasons to
give
unpack.
Me one. Give me one.
But how
wait,
long do you want
wait.
To...
Oh, well,
okay.
Wait.
I'm waiting.
I think it's fair to say that both bisexual men and bisexual women have crushed on any one of the Cassidy brothers, David or Sean.
Agreed.
Or Christy McNichol.
That was another popular one from that tweet that was going around earlier this week.
There was
or,
a tweet.
As one person said in the replies, and I agreed 100%, no one, man, woman, sexuality, whatever, no one was kicking David Bowie out of their bed.
There was a tweet that went up asking, who was your bisexual crush? Who was your same-sex crush? Who was your first same-sex crush? And there was a fine swath, forgive me, a fine swath of tweeters revealing who their first same-sex crush was. And I will share something very bizarre with you. Really weird, Thea Landon. Thea Landon, smutty book author, joins us on Sterling on Sunday to celebrate Pride Month. The strange thing is that every year in Pride Month, every year for 9 years, I, Walter Sterling, have said on this radio show, on this radio station, who was your same-sex crush? Who did you have a crush on? Same-sex crush. I think it is the safest, anonymous, easiest question I could ask to involve people in Pride Month. Not one call. I never get one call. Nobody really? Will admit. I can't believe it. No one will admit that they had a same-sex crush. One of the best biographies I ever saw about David Cassidy. There were experts talking about his appeal, and finally some experts said the greatest thing about David Cassidy was his brother Sean. Oh my God, imagine a rock star with that brother. And I'm like, yes, I had a crush on Sean Cassidy. And I revealed it to my wife. I had no shame about it. She felt safe. She did not feel threatened about that. And so it's very strange that even though I believe that you have had a same-sex crush, you, the dear listener, but no one will admit it. Why don't you think people will admit it?
Well, as I did say, I think there is a difference, you know, between women doing this and men doing this. I know one of the buzzwords these days is toxic masculinity, and we won't delve into that topic too deep. But I think there is something to do with that. You know, men don't want to be perceived, well, not all men, but many men, they don't want to be perceived as doing anything that could be possibly less masculine, not manly, you know, distracting from that whole image of just the regular guy drinking beers at the football games and everything. And having a crush on another man or even, you know, trying a relationship with another man just does not fit into that image that they have.
And women, are women, especially those at Sarah Lawrence, comfortable revealing and discussing these crushes? Do you find you can discuss it with your friends?
I think so. I don't think they're, again, this is as a whole, and I know I'm sounding like I'm generalizing here. It doesn't seem as taboo for women to admit an attraction to another woman. I mean, the problem on that side, I think, is that lesbians and bisexual women have to deal with people saying, oh, it's just a phase. Oh, you'll change your mind, you know, when you meet the right man or something along those lines. But no, the discussion on that end seems to be a lot more open and, for the most part, a little less judgmental. Of course, it all depends on who you're talking to, but that's been my personal experience.
888-688-WALT. I'm going to give you the freedom in anonymity of sharing your same-sex crush. 888-688-WALT. Thea Landon is a smutty book author. She writes books about, for example, lesbians in space. I think you have the field to yourself, Thea.
I think there's a few other space lesbians out there, you know. Hmm. Popularity of the genre is growing.
Yes, because of you. Do you have a section of your latest book you'd like to share with us?
Not my latest, but, you know, I was thinking, it's funny, you always talk about how I write about the lesbians in space, and sometimes some fantasy dragon lesbians, too. And all this time, Walter, I don't think I've ever actually shared an excerpt from one of the space lesbian books with you. So that, I finally came prepared with one tonight.
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay, here. This is from my book, Fire Beyond the Frost, which was actually the first lesbian novel I wrote. And the main character, Catalina, she has never actually been with a woman before. She's dated men, but after relocating to a desolate, faraway planet to do some volunteer work with a charity, she meets a woman and everything changes. So here's a little excerpt from Fire Beyond the Frost. The water shut off, and Sari appeared in the room moments later. Rather than sitting down, she leaned against the door frame with her arms folded. Comfortable? Yes. Good. I want to clear up one thing before our evening progresses. Catalina raised an eyebrow. I know you're coming out of a relationship with that jerk of a doctor, and the charity group sent you to what can seem like a pretty miserable place sometimes. Her dark eyes shone in the wan lighting. But I don't want you to be here because there's nothing else available and you're lonely. I want you to want me for me. The demand slithered out from between her plump lips. Catalina's gaze traveled from her inquisitive facade down the line of her neck. The top two buttons of her shirt were unfastened, allowing the flimsy material to fall open just enough to hint at what lay underneath. Even with her arms crossed in front of her, there was no camouflaging the pronounced curves of her body. Most importantly, beneath the pretty package beat the heart of the compassionate nurse whose caring nature extended to everyone who crossed her path. She swallowed back her usual inhibition and tried to erase any lingering doubts. I do want you. Sari closed the distance between them and sat beside her on the couch. That's all I needed to hear, she murmured. Her fingertips grazed Catalina's cheek with the lightest of touches. After letting her fingers travel down the side of her face, Sari cupped her chin and guided it toward her. Catalina closed her eyes and trembled. The cushion of Sari's lips was as warm and seductive as she'd remembered, and she sank into the luxurious kiss. Sari's tongue delved into her mouth, eliciting another shiver. Their playful exploration gave way to more as she nudged her backward against the side of the sofa, circling an arm around her waist.
Oh, really? I have to come out of that spell, that erotic spell that you cast for us, Thea Landon? Oh, my gosh.
I always have to find a good stopping point because sometimes I start using words in subsequent paragraphs that I don't think either one of us are allowed to say here.
You're probably right, but please share with us exactly where we can find the rest of those words. What's the book and spell your name?
Sure. Again, this excerpt was from Fire Beyond the Frost. This one is an Amazon exclusive, which means if you are a member of the Kindle Unlimited program, you can read it for free. Yay. And again, everyone always messes up the spelling of my name, and that's okay. It's under Thea, T-H-E-A, Landon, L-A-N-D-E-N.
E-N. Thea Landon, yes. You're our friend. You'll be back on Sterling on Sunday anytime you want. Thank you so much for joining us and celebrating Pride Month with us. Thank you, Thea Landon. What a great book. What a great author. What a fantastic guest. There's no better way to launch Pride Month than with Thea Landon. Doesn't that feel good? Didn't that feel good? My email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I want to see a picture of what you're looking at. If you don't engage with me tonight, if you don't call, I don't care, because it'll be Two for Tuesday or Motown Monday. Your choice. But I'm not going to get mixed up in it anymore. Two for Tuesday or Motown Monday. 888-688-WALT. Welcome. Beautiful night in America. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Conk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way, like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
Isn't this exciting? Isn't this the radio show you always imagined? Do you know why? Because you and I talk about the things that actually matter to us. Like the weather with Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of stolen vehicles, missing airbags, the quest for PVA cards, and an eavesdropping McDonald's manager. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. The most popular songs for exotic dancers. Coming up later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Coming up in Florida stories, we have a bill that would outlaw left lane driving, a very real sighting of UFOs. We're still finding shipwrecks with golden treasure like it's the Goonies. We have a problem with the dude taking upskirt videos. And if you're going to kill your lover's wife, the worst part is trying to get all the DNA out of your clown suit. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Story.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Lock up your daughters. Lock up your wives. The people of Walmart. Coming up later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
I love my character. I love my character so much. She is a real person, and she's nice, you know, and it's nice to play someone nice. Because often women, you know, you have... It's nice to play someone who's just straight down the line, a good girl, you know? I did actually grow up in LA for a lot of my tween years, I guess. Is that preteen? For a few of those years, I was living there. So no one would have me speaking in English at school. And at that age, you just adapt. Because things like water and banana, I mean, it's totally different.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258.
He released a hot, steaming pile of crap.
I do my best. Jamie Mac. Jamie. Oh, Jamie Mac. What? Listen, if those phones don't ring tonight, Jamie, if you don't take this opportunity, when are you coming back? On your way back from the shore, the lake, those relatives who you hate, that you have to pretend you like, if we don't share tonight on the phone, we're going to have Motown Monday or Two for Tuesday. Guaranteed. You can also participate by sending me a Sterling snap. Take a look at whatever you're looking at right now. Take a picture of it. You go to Facebook, Walter Sterling. You can see what I've been looking at. But I need to see what you're looking at so that I have a proper picture. There was some executive in radio, some executive long out of the business, who used to get a carousel slide projector in the radio studio. And he would project photos of the city and the people who lived in the city so the disc jockeys on the air could see who they're looking at. I got an idea. Why don't you hang out at a bar, a restaurant, a cafeteria, a school, but not a schoolyard? Why don't you hang out and talk to the people you work with? Talk to the people you listen to. That's a wacky idea. Or do what I did once. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you a story. I was on a crosstown bus in New York City. It was a beautiful day, but it was still a bus day, and it was 5 o'clock, and it was packed. And I was going across 23rd Street. 23rd Street at 5 o'clock, pretty much from one side of the island to the other, you could build the pyramids of Egypt in that amount of time. Every stop. I got on a local. What was I thinking? I got on a local. That meant I stopped at every stop. I don't mean to insult you or to mansplain, but that's what it means. I was on the 23rd Street crosstown bus.
He released a hot, steaming pile of crap.
And I noticed there was a woman who was on her phone and speaking a little loudly, and the people around her were paying more and more and more attention to her. She was attracting a crowd just with her side of the conversation. And what it was clear she was talking to the other person about was whether or not the other woman, which I came to conclude was her daughter, should live with a guy before they got married. And now the people on the bus were responding to this one side of the conversation. Tell her she shouldn't live on one. She shouldn't live with anybody before they get married. Tell her it's okay. These are modern times. Why shouldn't she live with the guy before? And they were arguing in front of her, but they didn't hear the other side of the conversation. But this woman was so compelling, so charming, so interesting that you had to pay attention. Now, I didn't participate in the conversation, but I saw enough that when I started to get off the bus, I handed her my business card and I said, send me an email, call me, we have to talk. God bless her, which is appropriate. God bless her. She sent me an email, and she was a woman, a beautiful woman, but that wasn't why I gave her the card. She was a beautiful woman. She was an older woman. She happened to be an African-American woman, and we go for coffee, and she starts telling me about her life, and this is the greatest life story I have ever heard, and I'm listening to her. I have had her on the show a number of times, and there's a podcast with her, Reverend Smith. She is a preacher. She has some life story, an amazing life story. And yes, I think she would be a very good radio talk show host, a great radio talk show host. Now, you're talking to the man, you're listening to the man who put Dr. Ruth Westheimer on the air 5 days a week, who gave her her big break in New York City radio on WYNY. Now, you know why I gave Dr. Ruth that big break? Because when she did a Sunday night show for 15 minutes on Sunday nights, she did a show for 15 minutes on Sunday night. She pulled like a 30 share of audience, which was obviously huge. But more importantly, she was generating. She was only answering letters at first. She was only answering letters at first. She was getting like 1,000 letters for a 15-minute show. And she was hysterical, and she was charming. But the best part was that she got the NBC. It was owned by NBC. She got the NBC Standards and Practices Department all excited. And many a Monday morning after her Sunday show, the NBC Standards and Practices suits would come to my office. Now, remember, the NBC Standards and Practices Department was a real Standards and Practices Department, not some goofy, hated lawyer like a lot of these companies have. A lot of these companies have like one person who's a despised lawyer and gets fired as soon as they can get rid of her. Get rid of her. But this was a real NBC Standards and Practices Department. And these guys would come sit there with me and they'd go over things that she would say. And because I'm not afraid, because I am not afraid, as most executives are, I would sit there and look at these guys going over their complaints about Dr. Ruth Westheimer. And when they were all done, I'd look at them. And I knew the general manager of the station was a proper Bostonian who never took off his jacket. Dan Griffin never took off his jacket. And if it was okay with Dan, I knew I was safe. And it was okay with Dan. I would look at them and I'd say, listen, guys, Dr. Ruth Westheimer is 4'11". She has 2 PhDs and 2 bullet wounds in her legs from fighting in the Israeli army. Do you want to tell her this? Because I sure as hell am not going to tell her any of this. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, I want to see what you're looking at right now. You send it to waltermsterling@gmail.com, a Sterling snap. And then you can go on Facebook to Walter Sterling and see what I see right now.
He released a hot, steaming pile of crap.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's tight as a drum, isn't it? Dan in Wisconsin, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Are you going to reveal your first gay crush?
No, because there's never been one. By the way, you're welcome for taking my call.
I'm so grateful for your call. And thank you for thanking me for taking your call. Can you believe that half of American spoken word radio is comprised of people calling and then saying thank you for taking my call? Meanwhile, the secret is every one of those hosts is freaking desperate for calls. Please go ahead, Dan.
You wanted us to call in to explain how we were celebrating Pride Month, right?
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, you know, people... Nobody should direct any hate toward anybody's sexuality. It's not a choice. I'm at the point, though, where I don't think it's appropriate to talk about these things, like to fly a flag around, because in the end, it's all about sexuality, and I just don't think it should be openly spoken about. I mean, I wish homosexual people well. They're fine people. But to fly flags and have parades and have all kinds of deviancy, I don't think it should be spoken about, and I do not understand why there's an entire month where we're supposed to make them feel better.
Now, there's a difference between flags and parades and, as you said, deviancy. What do you mean by deviancy?
It's a deviation from the intended function of heterosexual attraction. Attraction is for procreation, and when it deviates from that, it's just a deviation. I'm not saying these persons should be treated poorly at all. However, I just don't think it should be out and out talked about. I mean, I wish them well. I do, but I'm sick to death of hearing about it and having fingers wagged at me as if I'm a bad guy if I don't worship them and tell them that they're okay. They're fine.
What do you mean by deviancy?
Just means to stray from the standard, and I just think the majority are not that way.
The problem with the word deviancy, although technically correct, it means a deviation from the norm. The problem
right.
with the word deviancy when it applies to human beings is it's pejorative. It's pejorative.
I understand what you mean, and I guess I don't mean it in that way. I don't mean it insulting, but we've just gone over the top with all this. I just don't get it. I mean, what if there was no Pride Month? Everything would go by the same. And, of course, there's going to be some people who have that negative toward that community, but having a month is not going to change their mind. You can give them 6 months. And you're not going to change their minds.
There you go.
It needs
there,
to be.
There
I
you,
need,
hey, Dan, needs to Dan, be. Dan, there's your argument. Giving them 6 months isn't going to make it normal and comfortable. And I thank you for calling me. Thank you for calling at 888-688-9258.
He released a hot, steaming pile of crap.
There is Mr. Fonz in Alaska. Now, Keith, in Alaska, do they celebrate Pride Month or do they shoot gay people?
No, they celebrate it here. Everybody does their own thing.
Do they celebrate it with phallic ice sculptures in Alaska?
Nah, not this time of year. Good luck finding an ice sculpture.
And how do you celebrate it, Keith Fonz? Because I've noticed that you're a camper, a gun owner, you drive an Uber, and you have a car for DoorDash, and you. I'm sure you have a gun, don't you, Keith Fonz, in Alaska?
Everybody has to have something to protect themselves.
Why in Alaska, in the wilderness, do you need something to protect yourself? I thought there was plenty of open space and you could hide under the pickup.
Yeah, but you never know what you're going to run into out here. Anything from big moose to bears to wolves to wolverines to, you know, forest people.
You have children, similar ages to mine, middle school and elementary school. When the topics of gay rights, gay people, gay friends, transgender comes up, what do you tell them?
Well, our oldest 13-year-old, she has friends that are part of that community. And as far as me and her mother are concerned, that's her friends, her choice. I'm not going to tell her she can't be friends with somebody because what they believe their sexually orientation is. Or what they believe in, that's they have to judge them by their character, not by what they, you know, represent as.
And Keith Fonz is a real Alaskan. If one of your children came out to you as gay, what would you say to them?
What is there to say? Happy for you? Whatever makes our kids happy, I'm down for it. That if they choose to be gay or lesbian or transgender, whatever, you know, if they're honest enough to come out to me and their mother about it, the least we can do is sit down and with an open mind and, you know, welcome it.
And Keith Fons in Alaska listening to WFBR, do you have lesbian fantasies? Do you have fantasies about watching lesbian porn or actual lesbians doing it?
Not really.
I don't believe you. I think every man has fantasies about two women doing it.
Yeah, my age, good luck keeping up with that.
Good luck keeping it up at your age there, Keith.
Now, keeping up with it, you know, that's a lot of stigma, or stigma, whatever you want to call it.
I don't think it has any stigma. I think it's something great in the human condition to be celebrated. I think lesbianism is to be celebrated. And do you know that lesbians and lesbianism is a capital L? Do you know why it's a capital L?
Why would that be?
It's not a joke. It's because it's based on a Greek island called Lesbos. L-E-S-B-O-S. It's a Greek island where allegedly it's all women making out. Don't you want to go on vacation there?
Maybe in my dreams, but not in reality.
It would only be in your dreams. Keith Fons, you're a great fan. You're a great fan of Sterling on Sunday. I appreciate every time you're on the radio with me. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. That's Keith Fons at WFBR. He's not in Fairbanks, Alaska. He's in North Pole, Alaska, which is not a mythical place. It's a real place. Welcome. This is Real 2, Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Hello. I thought we'd hear a cute little rejoin. But no, it's all right. It's 6 minutes past 11 on the East Coast, 8:06 on the West Coast at KFBK in Sacramento, the capital of the most offensive state in America. Oh, I wish I could afford to live there. Let me share with you a story. Let me share with you the wacky things that the Sterlings did at the turn of the century, the 1800s century, that made it impossible for us to ever move to California. But first, Dr. Dave's weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of stolen vehicles, missing airbags, the quest for PBA cards, and an eavesdropping McDonald's manager. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. The most popular songs for exotic dancers. Coming up later, Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night.
Coming up in Florida Stories, we have a bill that would outlaw left lane driving, a very real sighting of UFOs. We're still finding shipwrecks with golden treasure like it's the Goonies. We have a problem with the dude taking upskirt videos. And if you're going to kill your lover's wife, the worst part is trying to get all the DNA out of your clown suit. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Lock up your daughters. Lock up your wives. The people of Walmart. Coming up later, Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
How are you celebrating Pride Month? That's what I'd like to hear from you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258.
He released a hot, steaming pile of crap.
And remember, if you don't call and you don't send in your Sterling snaps to WalterMSterling@gmail.com. We're going to have Motown Monday or Two for Tuesday, but I'm not going to keep working this hard if you don't work with me. Please send a photo of whatever you're looking at right now to WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Or else, we're going to have Motown Monday or Two for Tuesday. The great hallmarks, the great concept of originality on FM radio. Oh, this weekend we're going to have Two for Tuesday. Oh, wait, we're wrong. It's Motown Monday. It's crazy. Yeah. Okay, for 400 years I've heard that on the radio. Time to come up with something brand new. You know, like saying, hey, thank you for my call. Thanks for taking my call. Ah, oh, gosh, what's wrong with all of you? It's Pride Month.
Stupid studs in space with jock straps.
If you marry a woman, you are setting yourself up to be destroyed, especially if you are a productive man. There is no way you go down and get a marriage certificate with all of the information out here about marriage.
Fascist.
There's no way you should be getting married nowadays. That's an old concept, man.
Celebrating diversity. Sterling on Sunday in space.
888-688-9258. How are you celebrating Pride Month? How are you celebrating Pride Month? 888-688-9258. Well, did I hear on the news just now that there was a Cessna flying in restricted airspace over Washington, D.C.? A Cessna, that's usually a one-engine plane. Is that right? Usually a one-engine plane. A Cessna, one-engine plane. And they scrambled two U.S. military jets to see what was going on in this Cessna over restricted airspace because it was flying funny. Because it was flying funny. And they sent two military jets who created a sonic boom, and apparently that sonic boom took that plane out of the sky. Before they sent the sonic boom, they sent flares to try to get the pilot's attention, but the pilot appeared to have been passed out. Maybe had a heart attack, oxygen trouble, who knows. But the pilot wasn't paying any attention. They sent a flare into it, and a sonic boom, and probably the sonic boom knocked it out of the sky. What? A Cessna flying over restricted airspace in Washington, D.C. Well, I am delighted that two jets were able to be scrambled that quickly for a Cessna. I lived in Manhattan on September 11th. I could walk to the World Trade Center. I could walk to the Trade Center on September 11th. I'm Walter Sterling. Welcome. I'm Walter Sterling. I lived in Manhattan on September 11th. Where were the scrambled jets when giant 727s from United Airlines and American Airlines, giant jumbo jets, were multiple jumbo jets were flying into Manhattan, restricted airspace, into the tallest buildings on the world on the clearest day in history? September 1st, first week, second week in September are always the clearest weather, the most beautiful weather you could ever imagine in New York City, those 2 weeks. The worst pilot in the world could have avoided those buildings. Lee Harris on 1010 Winds. Lee Harris on 1010 Winds in Morning Drive said, this is a perfect day. Any pilot could have avoided that plane. Any pilot could have avoided those buildings. Jim Ryan on WNET, no, WNYT, what is it? Yeah, well, anyway, Channel 5 in New York, Fox 5 on Fox 5. Jim Ryan on the morning show, he sees this. He's been on television 400 years. He's a senior presence in New York City. He looks at the camera and says, any pilot could have avoided those buildings today. Any pilot. I believe we are seeing a terrorist attack, an attack on America, the likes of which we cannot yet imagine. And his cowardly news director said in his ear, you can't say that, you can't say that. And what Jim Ryan did is he took the earpiece out of his ear and never put it back again that morning. Where were the scrambled jets? Where was the emergency action system? Where were the notifications on the radio from the emergency action system controlled by FEMA announcing to New Yorkers that there's major trouble? No EEA test, no EAS test, no scrambled jets on September 11th. No scrambled jets. But today, a Cessna goes, you know, over the monument. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
You're expected to kind of respect your elders or, you know, the veterans, the girls that have been there for a while. And it's really important that you stay on their good side because, you know, the veterans are tight with a lot of the customers. They're tight with the staff, the management. It's just kind of a respect thing. And if it comes down to it, if you get in a fight with, like, a veteran and it's just you as a baby stripper and then the veteran, the management is definitely going to choose the girl that's been there longer. So just know that, you know, there is a little bit of a hierarchy, you know, and as a baby stripper, because I've been a baby stripper in multiple different clubs.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Stupid studs in space with jock straps.
Okay, at some point you knew we had to cover this. Scrotox. The popularity is increasing again. Now, if you think this is ridiculous, Botox for the scrotum. The scrotum surrounds the testicles of the male. If you think it's ridiculous, give me a thumbs up. If you like it and you think it's important, a thumbs down. The reason I'm asking is because women surveyed typically say they don't care, but the men do.
Celebrating diversity. Sterling on Sunday.
888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Yes. Celebrating Pride Month. How are you celebrating Pride Month? How are you celebrating Pride Month? I believe the celebration should be of humanity. I believe that the greatest gift a human being can get is to not be noticed, that we blend in, we get along. No one of us needs to be celebrated because we are, in fact, all the same at heart. That the greatest gift any one of us can receive, greatest gift you can receive, the greatest gift I can receive, is a request for help. When you ask me for help, that's the best thing that can happen to me. How can I help you is the most powerful phrase. Well, the second most powerful phrase. The most powerful phrase is, let me tell you a story. You want to own a room, look at them and say, let me tell you a story. And then the next most powerful phrase is, how can I help you? Because if you're in trouble, if you're distressed, number one, who's ever distressed, the toughest time they have is asking for help. Americans, you know, are supposed to tough up and be independent and not ask for help and take care of things yourself. And we're trained, we're beaten down against asking for help. It's a tough thing to do. I have a friend who was a lifeguard, spent a summer as a lifeguard, and he said he saved 11 people from drowning. Can you imagine that? Saved 11 people from drowning. And every one of those situations was the same. Not one of them asked for help. Not one of them shouted out for help. He spotted them. He knew they needed help. He went to save them, but no one had asked for help. Secondly, every one of them could have saved themselves if they had just stood up. And third, nobody thanked him. He saved their lives and nobody thanked him. They didn't ask for help. They could have saved themselves if they had just stood up. Nobody thanked them. That's who we are. That's why a request for help is a very big deal. I want to see what you're looking at right now. Please take a picture, a Sterling snap. I'm Walter Sterling. I'm live. This show is live. There's nothing else live. You think the gold show's live? You think the equity show, like the real estate show, the annuity show, the mortgage show, and you, and for gosh sakes, the Don't Go Into Debt and Pray to Jesus show is never live. But I'm live on a Sunday night. The great deal we have with every single station, with this station that airs Sterling on Sunday, it's live. It's 824 in Sacramento, California. It's 1124 at WPHT in Philadelphia, run by the smartest program director I have ever met. 888-688-9258. How are you celebrating Pride Month? My opinion, there shouldn't be any celebration of Pride Month. There should be no celebration. It should be, we're human, I'm human, blends in, get along, no problems. That's the celebration. I got to tell you, I make this mistake several times a year. Let me tell you a story. I drove from New York City to a suburb of Ohio as punishment for my life because I spent 45 years in New York City. And then I did everything wrong and we had to leave. I couldn't afford it. I did not want to leave. My kids didn't want to leave. They're native New Yorkers, but we had to leave. Therefore, I had to drive for 9 hours. I was alone. I went to a convention in New York of talk radio hosts. Let's just think about that. Talk radio hosts. The smell of Rogaine was in the air. Propecia was in the air. And everybody was always right. Everybody was right. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I watch Fox News. I'm in the club. They're all right. But I had to make this 9-hour drive because I didn't work in time to get the right airfare. And my father-in-law has the miles. And he couldn't figure out how to do the new password on United. They used to use a passcode. Now they use a password just to make my life. And finally, I said, I'll drive. It's all right. I'll drive. Big mistake. 9-hour drive turned into 11 because of two things. I'm driving through State College, Pennsylvania, and I have the brilliant idea on this beautiful, beautiful day. What a day. To pull into AutoZone and get a new air filter because the engine was sucking. It was straining. It sounded like it wasn't getting enough air. And I remember that when I had gone to the auto change place, the oil change place, they said, do you want to change the oil filter? And I'm like, no, I'll save money. We don't need a new air filter. I'm saying, no, we don't need a new air filter. Well, I was stupid. I could feel that it needed a new air filter. I could feel that it was suffering. The car was suffering. It had emphysema. The car had emphysema. I pull into AutoZone because I knew that the price would be cheap and that the clerk would help me. The person there would change the oil filter. Why am I saying that? Would change the air filter for me. I knew that they would do that. I pull in. It's immaculate, as all AutoZones are. I'm always very impressed with AutoZones because I'm not a real man. I have no idea what I'm looking at, but it looks very organized. I say to Brianna, in State College AutoZones, I say, I need a new air filter. She comes out, she changes it, puts in a new air filter. Oh, this one was so dirty. See, I know about cars. The air filter was dirty. Brianna says so. And then she says, is your car like trying hard to breathe? Is it stalling? It sounds like it's having trouble like that? I go, yes, it has trouble with like that. And she says, well, it's probably the gas filter. When the gas goes into the engine, when the gas goes out of the tank, there's a little point of where it gets contracted there. Sometimes it gets gunked up. You need this. And she takes out this $4 bottle, little gas filter cleaner. Do you want this? You could get two for $9 today. I'm like, no, I don't want to overspend. I have a wife who thinks I overspend all the time. She just hounds me all the time over this nonsense about overspending. Please, God, it's $1.98 for a gallon of milk. I think I'm doing pretty good. Oh, my God. I go to Walmart to shut her up. I hate it. Oh, and then I got to tell you a Walmart story. Don't let me forget, Sean. Well, she puts it in the car. She puts it in the gas tank. And, oh, my gosh, Brianna at AutoZone in State College, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Brianna. I'm liking a new car. It's driving great. Little bottle of magic potion, love potion number 9. But I said to Brianna, I said, listen, with 3 daughters, it makes me very happy to see you working at an AutoZone. And she says, well, let me tell you, anytime I get near cars or mechanics, I get kidded a lot, and the culture is a very male culture, but I love my job. I love automobiles. I love tinkering with them. And I'm like, good for AutoZone. Good for them and good for you, Brianna, at AutoZone in State College, Pennsylvania, and for being such a professional and for helping me. And her colleague was a guy. He didn't know anything. Nice guy. He didn't know a thing. Brianna, she had it down, and I am grateful to her. But then I get in the car, and I notice that it had a very positive effect cleaning out the gunk in the fuel line. I went from going 25 miles an hour, which I noticed because there's nothing else to do in Pennsylvania for 9 hours, to 27 miles per gallon. Wow. Felt like a new car. 2 miles per gallon better. Everything was great. I get in the car. I drive about 50 more miles. Beautiful night. I'm listening to the radio live. And then the tire gauge starts to go from 36 to 35 to 30, and I have a flat tire. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of stolen vehicles, missing airbags, the quest for PBA cards, and an eavesdropping McDonald's manager. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. The most popular songs for exotic dancers. Coming up later, Strippers on the Loose. Sterling at night.
Coming up in Florida stories, we have a bill that would outlaw left lane driving, a very real sighting of UFOs. We're still finding shipwrecks with golden treasure like it's the Goonies. We have a problem with the dude taking upskirt videos. And if you're going to kill your lover's wife, the worst part is trying to get all the DNA out of your clown suit. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida stories.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Lock up your daughters. Lock up your wives. The people of Walmart. Coming up later. Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
888-688-WALT. Jim in Kansas City, welcome to the Giant Network Radio Show.
Walter, can you hear me?
Jim, I can always hear you in my head during the week.
Fantastic. Well, if I had to wait on hold this long, I wish it would have been Florida stories.
Jim, there are four Florida stories tonight. James Parker has created four Florida stories specifically for you, Jim.
That's fantastic. Hey, how about a Lesbos Island drone camp?
Lesbos Island drone camp. So you're bringing Lesbos up to date.
Yeah. Internet, let's go. We're going to go worldwide, international. Okay, here's the thing. On Pride Month, I just think it would be better named Gratitude Month or Happiness Month, because to me, I just don't see it as something to be... I don't get proud about things that just happen. I get proud about stuff that's an achievement, and just to me, that wouldn't be an achievement. So that's just my opinion. That's what I... But I dig what they're screaming. I know where they're coming from, so they want to have a month. I'm happy for them to have that.
It plays into the key argument of people who are gay, which is they say they are born gay. It's not a choice. And you've just said it's not an achievement. You're born gay. Why get a month? Is that your point?
Well, that's part of it. But the other part of it is that, I mean, I understand that they want a month and that there should be a month, but I would think that it would be better named Happiness Month or Gratitude Month, because I just don't, to me, pride indicates an achievement, and I just don't, the way I understand it, it's not an achievement. Hey, can we get a Dorothy report? And how about Al Pacino? He's a father at 83. That's something else, huh?
Well, the thing about Al Pacino being a father at 83 is, yeah, men can have babies at 83, but they're too old to pick them up. And as for a Dorothy report, thank you for asking. Dorothy, is my 20-year-old who goes to the Newhouse School at Syracuse University. And the great thing about Dorothy is she went out to get an internship this summer, thank God, to stay out of the house. She is a gifted television producer, and I say that as both a father and an objective observer. I got to watch her put together television shows at the Newhouse School and to manage a team of about 30 students, all amateurs, never did it before, and she was able to bring them up to speed, educate them as to what they had to do. And they liked her when it was done. I'm like, okay, that's a leader. They liked her when it was done. They didn't hate her or wanted to get her. No, they responded to what she said. Well, right now she is an intern at Fox 8, a legendary television station in Cleveland, and she's working on Good Morning Cleveland, Good Day Cleveland, their big morning show at 10 a.m., which is lucky for her. It's not the news show, which is on at 4 a.m. Who needs that? And as for Meredith, who was in a terrible car accident in January, Meredith's wrists have not healed. They may have to put a screw in her wrist. It limits the jobs that she can do. But Meredith graduated from high school on Friday. And that was huge because before the pandemic, Meredith had straight A's, as a lot of kids did. And then Zoom learning happened because criminals shut the schools. Unions shut the schools without any evidence, without any need. Only one governor in America didn't shut the schools, Ron DeSantis. God bless him. But, oh, gosh, our governor shut the schools for 18 months. And now she went from a straight-A student to barely being able to function. She was so frustrated. It was so hard for her. The way she absorbs information was completely alien to the Zoom. And guess what? No teacher was trained how to do this. In fairness, what training was there for a teacher to teach on Zoom where any given student at any given time could turn off the screen? Oh, gee, they didn't think of that. Well, she's graduating, which is fantastic, and she's going to make a senior trip with her buddies to the Jersey Shore, and God bless her. And, Jim, I appreciate you listening. Thank you. You're a good friend. I almost appreciate the text. Thank you for listening to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. And the reason why it is important to the gay community, in my opinion, to be positive and outgoing and to be present is because in the 1960s, not the 1930s, there were educational films like this shown in school.
During their conversation, he told several off-color jokes. But Jimmy had heard others before, and, well, it made him feel big to so easily win the confidence of an older person. Saturday, they went fishing together. By now, they were using first names. Ralph said it was more friendly. Jimmy hadn't enjoyed himself so much in a long time. Then during lunch, Ralph showed him some pornographic pictures. Jimmy knew he shouldn't be interested, but, well, he was curious. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick, a sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious, a sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex.
Pride Month. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables, get Shales negotiating on the wire.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Thank you.
For our first Florida story, we're going to go to the state capitol where Florida lawmakers are debating a bill that would ban left lane driving on interstates, is what it says on WPBF.com.
But if you actually read the text of the bill, I know that sounds really dumb. Really, what's the point of even having a left lane if no one's ever allowed to drive in it? But they're trying to find the perfect wording that says you can only use the left lane while you're in the process of passing somebody, or you're about to make a left turn, setting up for a left exit or whatever. And so right now, the wording in the bill is kind of messed up because an amendment screwed something up. And it's funny, but that's not like the final version of a bill. But it is kind of some goofy thing that is very apropos and expected of the low expectations we have of our friends down in Florida. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
We're going to Lakeland, Florida, and this is an interesting story because I've had doubts my entire life, and they just get relaxed by the day, and this is concerning UFOs. Are you a believer in UFOs? Because, you know, now the Pentagon admits they're real, and of course, if we're going to have UFOs around here, of course, it's going to be in Florida stories. But Lakeland, Florida, there's actually some good video. You know, everyone's got a video camera in their pocket now, and some enterprising Florida man in the Lakeland area gets some incredible video of these two fiery orbs. If you come watch the video version of Florida Stories, you'll see it. But there is no great explanation for this. And the weird part is there's just absolutely no sound. These things aren't making any sound. You can hear the Florida guy talking, and you can hear some ambient noise of like birds and the wind blowing through the leaves, but the balls are moving in a way that cannot be explained by drones or helicopters or airplanes. So unidentified Florida objects, Florida Stories, seems like a pretty obvious match. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right. It's Pride Month, and I want to know how you're celebrating Pride at 888-688-WALT. What's the first name of this person? Skillet. That's why I blocked it, because I don't believe it's a real name. Skillet in Dallas. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hey, what's going on? You know my name.
Are you sober? Are you sober?
Hell yeah, I'm sober. I'm in my 18-wheeler. I'm always sober, except when I'm in casinos. Sometimes I'm a little wasted in the casino, wasted on Jack Daniels. Hey, I wanted to tell you about
Wait. Is it Jack Daniels, or are you wasting money on Maker's Mark?
I did that Maker's Mark here about a year ago, and I thought it was kind of sweet. It tasted
really?
Like sugar. So
really?
Yeah. So I ain't gonna drink that anymore.
All right. So let me set you up, Skillet. Today. A Cessna plane, probably a single-engine plane, flew over restricted airspace in Washington, D.C., and two jets, U.S. military jets, were scrambled, buzzed the plane, sent out flares to try to wake up the pilot who was passed out for whatever reason, sent out a sonic boom, the plane came down. I'm like, okay, they scrambled jets. Wait a minute. Where were the scrambled jets to protect me in Manhattan, in New York City, on September 11th? Oh, gee, they didn't go out. And then where was the emergency action system? Where was the emergency action system on the radio, you know, for good, to save AM radio with the EAS test? That didn't go off either on 9/11. Your turn, Skillet.
Well, the sad story is that may have been an inside job. But this Cessna was the fastest jet in the world. It was a Citation, the same kind Thurman Munson died in. And when he died in that plane, the Yankees, they sued Cessna because they said that they used high-pressure sales tactics to sell him that plane. But they're real fast. They're the fastest planes in the world. And Uncle Joe's sitting in that White House, and you can't let that jet smash into that White House now. So... Well, those airmen there, they did the right thing. Those pilots, they didn't have a choice.
Skillet, I agree with you. I agree that the airspace should be protected above Washington, D.C. and above the White House. But where were the scrambling jets on 9/11? Now, why do you think it was a conspiracy?
Well, If it wasn't, they probably would have been in the air. So that's the basic logic of it.
Because the military Air Force base was nearby, and there were scrambling jets sitting there, and they weren't launched. Now, more importantly, I have a much bigger question for you, Skillet, in Dallas. Were you very sad when Luby's went out of business?
Well, yeah, I've been eating there quite a bit in my lifetime. I mean, it wasn't the biggest deal in the world.
In my opinion, Skillet, in my opinion, you have a great laugh. Thank you very much for calling. In my opinion, Skillet, they had the best iced tea I've ever had, or as you folks in the South call it, tea, the best tea I've ever had. WBAP, a proud should-be affiliate of Sterling on Sunday.
He released a hot, steaming pile of crap.
Telling you, if you don't engage with these phones at 888-688-WALT, we're going to have Motown Monday, or worse, Two for Tuesday. Two for Tuesday, right at the limit, the atmospheric limit of creativity in American radio. I know, let's do Two for Tuesday. In fact, I bet you we can even program it into our RCS music programming computer. We'll program a two for program.
Really? That's the best you could do?
That's the best you could do? Shame on you. Shame on you. Idiots. Well, I had a flat tire on Route 80. Are you ready? In Pennsylvania, only in Pennsylvania would there be a town called Barkeyville. In any other state, that would have been shut down 100 years ago. They would have changed its name to New Steel. But in Pennsylvania, it's Barkeyville. And I got a flat tire in Barkeyville, and a real flat tire. It was going, as I was going along, the little gauge was showing me 36, 35, 28, 25. It was going to go flat. I had 15 miles to go to a TA truck stop, 15 miles to go. And oh, by the way, it was 9 o'clock on a Saturday night with a beautiful pink full moon. Did you see that? Thank gosh. I pull into this TA truck stop and they say, well, you know, we're a truck stop here. We don't have anything that small as your car, your silly little car. You got a four-wheeler. And they were all laughing at me because I had a small car. Well, God bless Corey and his buddy who grew up in Cleveland. And they said, we don't have any tires for you, but gee, do you have a spare? Now, it was a sort of new car, a new used car, and I'm like, I don't know if I had a spare. And it was a Pacifica, which the spare is hidden in the side panel, not underneath, the side panel. Pull it out, and there is a beautiful, from Claiborne Motors, a beautiful new spare, like a real spare tire. God bless them. And Corey and his buddy were gracious at the TA truck stop in Barkeyville. And they took out the side panel. They took out all the stuff which was there. There's never all the stuff for a spare tire. They took off my old tire. They put on a new tire. I was so lucky. I am so grateful. I had two great automotive experiences this week. Two great automotive experiences. It was pretty amazing. It's exhausting. I love being on the radio with you. I am grateful to be on the radio with you. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I got Sean running the controls. How lucky am I? Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Right, he released a hot, steaming pile of crap.
I'm Walter Sterling. This is a live radio show. Yes, at this hour, it's a live radio show, 1206 on the East Coast, 906 on the West Coast. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Coming up in just seconds, we have Dave Scott, an expert in UFOs, and I'm going to ask him, is there lesbianism in space? Plus, I want to know how you are celebrating Pride Month. The phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, live on a Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of stolen vehicles, missing airbags, the quest for PBA cards, and an eavesdropping McDonald's manager. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. The most popular songs for exotic dancers. Coming up later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Coming up in Florida stories, we have a bill that would outlaw left lane driving. A very real sighting of UFOs. We're still finding shipwrecks with golden treasure like it's the Goonies. We have a problem with the dude taking upskirt videos. And if you're going to kill your lover's wife, the worst part is trying to get all the DNA out of your clown suit. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Story.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Lock up your daughters. Lock up your wives. The people of Walmart. Coming up later. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. We're going to go to the Daytona area, but it just starts there. What's going on is there was a really cool shipwreck that was found in by Daytona Beach back in December. And it's been a few months, and so now that they're publishing research reports on what they found in it, you do a couple more searches, and it is not really that uncommon for people to still continue to this day find shipwrecks on Florida coast. There's a whole lot of little ones where some goober's boat just got washed up on the shore in a hurricane. But if you go through the more historic ones, you know, there's a lot that have been found and found pretty recently. There was a huge one that was found by Crescent Beach. It's called the Carolyn Eddy, and it's from the early 1800s, and it had gold on it. And there's another one, the Ponta Verde, had gold on it. And I had to look up something. There was a shipwreck from 1715 by Fort Pierce that was found in 2014, and it had elaborate rectangular pyxes on it. Do you know what a pyx is? A P-Y-X? Yeah, I don't know it either, because I'm not a Catholic. But when you go to some Catholic communion services, this is what they keep the wafer in. You know, I'm Protestant, and depending on what Protestant church, they just give you some various form of a cracker. But I've noticed that the Catholics give you, like, it has to be a round circular wafer. They're very specific about it, and they're so specific about it, they even have a container with its own name designated just for such a purpose. It's called a pyx. And apparently, if they're made in the early 1700s and out of pure gold, they're worth a lot if you find them on the coast of Florida these days. So let me know if you find any. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Dave Scott, who used to control UFOs with his mind. Dave Scott, who now is the host of a powerful podcast, website, and radio show in Canada. Who knows where that is? About UFOs and extraterrestrial life. Dave Scott, are there lesbians in space?
Why not? We got reptilians, we've got humanoids, we've got insectoids. Why not lesbian aliens with three breasts that want to mate with mankind, both on the male side and the female side?
We hear about reptilians. We hear about all sorts of life forms in space, but never do we hear about aliens having sex with or without us. Is that a fair statement, Dave?
Oh, you couldn't be further from the truth there, my friend. You know, there are many, many reports coming out about alien-human hybrids that many of the species, including the famous grays, apparently cannot reproduce on their own. So what they do is they abduct people, take them up onto their craft. These people will then have sex on the craft and get the female pregnant. And then while the female is back in her natural state here on Earth, she will start having pregnancy issues and pregnancy feelings and symptoms. However, when doctors go to do an ultrasound, there is no fetus in her body. And this has been going on for ages.
where I know one lady who states that she has 27 hybrid children, that she has been pregnant that many times and had the fetuses all taken away.
Do you believe her?
There is some truth to what is going on, because apparently the Greys cannot reproduce. So what they do is they allegedly take the fetus that has been, that is growing inside the woman. They put them inside like a test tube, and they put their own DNA inside the fetus, so that way it comes across as a human-alien hybrid. I mean, it sounds very sci-fi, but there are many conferences and many people, both male and female, who claim that they have been taken up on craft and met their own hybrid children.
Do the hybrid children ever live on Earth?
Sometimes they have been seen in and around those people, but the problem is they don't stick around. Like, it's almost like they're a game of hide and seek, where the child can go peek in on mom or dad and spend a couple of minutes viewing them. But if mom or dad try and chase them down, the child runs away and disappears.
Where would they disappear to?
I have no idea. They somehow zap themselves back into the spacecraft and poof, they're gone. And who knows where they go from there. It sounds strange, but there are hundreds of people who are experiencing this phenomenon.
It sounds strange, Dave Scott, you think? Dave Scott is an expert on UFOs, a ufologist. Dave Scott has just explained to us that there are lesbians in space. There is sex going on in space. There are alien hybrids. What do the alien hybrids look like, Dave? What do you imagine they look like?
I would assume they look like any sort of human being, except the heads are probably a little bit more elongated and large. The eyes are said to be much larger. The foreheads are said to be much larger. The arms and the legs are very much human, same as the torso. They do have reproductive organs. However, we don't know if those reproductive organs actually work. And, yeah, apparently they're very human, but they have alien DNA within them that allows them to live out in space.
I wonder what happened to the alien race that makes them sterile. If this theory is correct, if it's in fact the truth, I wonder what happened to make them sterile. And I wonder why they're not warning us.
Well, there is a theory about this brought to you by Dr. Michael P. Masters out of Montana Tech University, who has been studying the idea of time travel, where they're not actually coming from space. They're actually us from the future. And over time, with what we've done to the planet, there is the thought that they have developed time travel to come back in time to help them reproduce in order to maintain humanity on this planet.
I like the time travel theory better than the alien theory, because there are a lot of physical problems with the alien theory, although I have never thought, Dave Scott, I have never thought that we are alone in the universe. The universe is just too big. But I have two scary theories that I will leave you thinking about and we'll share again next week, Dave Scott, and that my two theories are: it is also possible that in the universe there had to be some organized civilization that was first and one that was last. And maybe we haven't heard from anybody else because maybe we're the first, or maybe we're the last. Dave Scott, how do I get in touch with you? What's the name of your website?
SpacedOutRadio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at SpacedOutRadio, Instagram at SpacedOutRadioShow.
All right. Since you are a radio expert, you know that absolutely nobody remembered what you just said, so please share it again.
SpacedOutRadio.com is the website. Follow us on social media at SpacedOutRadio on Twitter and at SpacedOutRadioShow on Instagram.
I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Jimmy Failla.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023. And if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
888-688-WALT. Allison listening on Lobster Radio in Portland, Maine. Welcome. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Allison.
Hi. Yeah, I'm vegetarian, so I don't eat lobsters. But anyway, so I just want to say I feel pride about being queer because I just being kind of, you know, surviving in a society that doesn't exactly accept me terribly well. So maybe not the thing itself, being, you know, but the fact the way I've had to deal with things. I'm in my 60s now, and it's been pretty rough. And so now with some of these backlash laws against transes and everything, it's not. It's difficult. So yeah. So just to have a little bit of time to stand up and be proud. I don't see what the big deal is. Why that's such a bad thing.
When did you feel society changed and your life started to get a little bit easier?
That's a good question. Get easier. You mean in the past? I mean, because it seemed like it was getting better under Clinton and things. And I'm not super left-wing, so don't. It's not just politics. It just seemed like things were heading that way. I was hoping Hillary would be president so people out there can hate me in 2008. Not in 2016. I don't know what happened to her in those 8 years. But it just seemed like things were getting better. And then the last couple of years, there's all this stuff about, you know, the truth is I'm trans. And so I did the whole thing 40 years ago. And this thing about the backlash, I know, I guess I'm a little bit like Caitlyn Jenner, that I'm kind of conservative and, you know, trans, and which is kind of weird because I actually think, and everybody's going to hate me now on the other side, that I don't think that a lot of these kids that think that they're trans are necessarily really trans all the way. It's a thing that really starts when you're really young, and you're really, it's just, you just feel it all your life. I mean, you're like a little tiny kid. And I'm just, you know, not to trash them or criticize them or anything, you know, but I just think it's, on one hand, it's gotten a little bit overboard with everybody's trans, suddenly trans. On the other hand, there's this thing about, oh boy, nobody can be, you know, nobody's allowed to be trans. So it's like pretty paradoxical,
all right,
you know.
All right. Here's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put you on hold. I'm going to get your name and number, and you're going to come on the show as a guest, because if you went through the transition many years ago, that was courageous. I always say that if you're going through a transition now, you get to be who you were meant to be, and congratulations. But doing it 20, 30, 40 years ago, you were brave, and I want to hear about that bravery. So please hold on.
Wow.
Talk to Sean. Get the information.
Thank you
get
so
the
much.
Information from Sean. Thank you. 888-688-WALT. I want to tell you a story. This is a hard story for me to tell you, but I need to tell you this story about New York City. Reflexively, when I'm asked, where do you live? Where are you from? I always say, I live in New York, but it's a lie. I have to lie because my instinct is I'm a New Yorker. I'm from New York. However, a few years ago, I was forced to leave New York because of financial problems. I could not afford to live there anymore. I could not afford $5 gallons of milk. I could not afford $5,000 a month for a modest two-bedroom, two-bath apartment. I had three beautiful babies. Today, I cannot go back to New York City because I fear for the safety of myself, my kids. I am afraid to go to the city. I was in the city this weekend, and it's a completely different place. But you know what place it is? It's time travel. It's 1978, before Bloomberg was mayor, before Giuliani was mayor. I used to live at 23rd and 3rd. Listen to this. I used to live at 23rd and 3rd. And for me to get to the subway in 1978, I had to know the safe pass. Wait a minute. I only had to walk three blocks. I had to walk three blocks in daylight to get to the subway, but I had to know how to do it to stay on which side of the street, which block to go on, to feel safe to go from my home to the subway. Then Giuliani was mayor, and I felt safer every day. The streets were cleaner. The squeegee men disappeared. The homeless people disappeared. I felt safer every day, and I could just walk to the subway. I didn't have to remember which side of the street to go on. I used to, but now I don't know which side of the street to go on. But worse, my city is gone. Evil has descended on New York City. The evil has descended on New York City. It used to be full of grace, and now it's full of evil. My favorite ice cream shop, my favorite hardware store, those are boarded up now. The 21 Club, the Four Seasons Restaurant, the Fire Club, great places that I wanted to take my children for special occasions, those are gone. The bagel restaurant in Greenwich Village, which had the most incredible breakfast, a little tiny hole in the wall, best breakfast, those are gone. Those are boarded up. They're gone. Evil has descended on the city. Here's the news about New York City versus any other city in America. The news is, it will come back. And it will be coming back because of Susan Felder, the principal at PS40 in New York City. The principal of PS40 in New York City will not let a kid leave that elementary school until they can read. No kid leaves that elementary school until they can read. It's going to survive and thrive because of the Florence Meat Market in Greenwich Village on Great Jones Street. You know what happens at the Florence Meat Market? People go there in August to reserve their turkey for Thanksgiving, because at Thanksgiving there's a list of 300 people who reserved a turkey in order. And people go there in August to be number one on the list. They, on Thanksgiving Eve, they look there, and above the Florence Meat Market, it lists all the names in order of people who reserved a turkey. And one year, I was number one. Well, Florence Meat Market has been there for 100 years. And that is why New York City will survive and thrive. And it's because of Officer Cott, a member of the 13th Precinct. The 13th Precinct in New York City. Officer Cott was at the World Trade Center in New York City on September 11th. And New Yorker after New Yorker after New Yorker came up to Officer Cott and said, "Do you need a cup of coffee? Do you want some soda? Do you want some water?" Yeah, he was protecting us, but we were protecting him. That's my New York. My New York is full of grace. Evil will leave the city. Leaders will step up, clean it up, put more police on, put more homeless centers online to help homeless people, to help them with their mental issues, their drug issues, because that's who New Yorkers are. It's the greatest city in the world. It is the greatest city in the world, and it will come back. Evil will leave. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
This is an amazing conversation about why we worry and how to stop worrying. That's coming up in just seconds.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of stolen vehicles, missing airbags, the quest for PBA cards, and an eavesdropping McDonald's manager. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. The most popular songs for exotic dancers. Coming up later, Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night. This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Lock up your daughters. Lock up your wives. The people of Walmart. Coming up later, Sterling at Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
On Sterling on Sunday. Thank you for being on the show. Ishi Nobu is the author of Besting Yourself, Gaining Power. What causes people to be unhappy?
The problem is belief. People believe what comes to mind. Everyone has an overactive imagination, and they believe their imagination. And the deception runs deep.
If I continue to focus on what's in my brain, what is the result going to be?
The result's going to be worry, anxiety, fear, anger, negativity. And that negativity, of course, manifests in unhappiness.
What are the steps I have to take to get out of the hell of my own self-deception to happiness?
Stop believing, stop harboring thoughts. All of existence is right now, right here, right now. If you want to enjoy life, you simply exist in now. It's easy to say and hard to do.
We are given five senses. They all work in present tense. I don't have a sense to see the past. I don't have a sense to see the future. I can touch now. I can see now. I can hear now. If I'm honest with myself about what my five senses are actually showing me right now, I have nothing to be afraid of.
Absolutely true.
Ishinobu is the author of Besting Yourself. It's his brand new book, Besting Yourself, Gaining Power. What are my powers that I'm going to get if I become my best self?
Well, I've practiced levitation, but the whole why we get up in the morning, why we want to continue, is simply we want to enjoy the show being nature, the show being our lives. What really matters is our entertainment and what we get if we become enlightened or mentally healthy. Is a good show. The struggle doesn't go away, but the suffering does.
That's a beautiful line. What do I need to do to make that go away?
There are several techniques. The practice of meditation, yoga, tai chi, etc. are classic techniques. But mental health is a matter of will. You really cannot harbor thoughts. You really cannot believe. And that habit, which is ingrained since early childhood, needs to stop. It takes a tremendous will to do that. Mastery of the mind is the ultimate mastery, but it can be done.
Ishinobu wrote Besting Yourself, Gaining Power. What the heck is scientific spiritualism? That's almost, it seems to me like a contradiction.
To Westerners, it would. Science has proven what gurus have known since antiquity. Let's begin with the deep deception, and that is that the physical world is an intricate, elaborate illusion. Physicality is a mirage in the mind. And that's science. Physics have shown matter's made of energy. Energy is nothing but an idea. We can go from there. If our mind deceives us that there's a physical world, that there is a dualism, in other words, that we have a mind body amid an external world, if that's a deception, we can't trust our mind. Which is exactly the same as the spiritual teachings. Don't trust the mind. Don't believe the mind. Mental illness is where you are a tool of the mind. Mental health is where you use your mind as a tool. There's a huge difference between the two.
How do I get to using my mind as a tool?
Be in the present moment and practice what I call skepticism. Anytime anything comes to mind, recognize it's part of your imagination. We imagine all the time. Stop believing your imagination. If it's not useful, whatever is in your head, if it's not useful or beautiful, it has no place. Harbor no thoughts.
If it isn't beautiful in my mind, I have to get rid of it. That's the essence of what you're saying.
Harbor no thought. Harbor no belief. No abstraction is true. Everything you believe is nothing but a set of abstractions. They aren't real. The use of imagination is to set goals and solve problems. But people use it for all kinds of reasons. The use of memory is for skill. Be pure about what you're doing. What you're trying to do is enjoy life. So the spirituality is practicality. Practice what you want to do. Enjoy life.
I looked over your bibliography of the multiple books that you've have written, Ishinobu, and I was struck by the one about the Matrix, the one about get a red pill, taking the red pill. What do we learn from the movies, The Matrix?
It is my easiest to read book, and my books are online. So if you want to read them, you can read them at no cost. The red pill, the book, uses the movie The Matrix as a parable and explains it is scientific spiritualism. It explains the science behind mental health. The Matrix, of course, in the movie was a computer simulation that people in their egg tubes that acted as batteries, they believed that the simulation was real. They lived their entire lives delusional. Well, in reality, that's exactly what's happening. The material world is an elaborate illusion. It's precisely the same. So, as with the Matrix, stop believing. Be present in the present moment, and that's all there is.
You suggest meditation and yoga, tai chi. How do I know if I'm doing it well? Especially meditation. How do I know if I'm meditating properly?
The answer is, that's irrelevant. There is no goodness, there is no properness. Understand, there are four states of consciousness: awake, asleep, dreaming, and a fourth state that even ordinary people go into momentarily, they simply can't sustain. And that fourth state is called transcendence. In that fourth state, the mind is quiet and the body is receptive. Yoga uses postures, Tai Chi uses movements. But the point is the same: to have full concentration, or in the case of meditation, no concentration, and thereby being entirely within the moment, the mind naturally transcends. It doesn't matter if you're sloppy Tai Chi. That's not the point. The point is to have the focus of the pose, the focus of the movement. You can walk in nature and transcend. You transcend every time, every moment that you are totally in the moment. You don't have to do anything. It's not a question of doing. It's a question of being. Being in the moment. That is transcendence.
Do you believe that we have been visited by aliens from other planets?
I don't believe anything. But it's some interesting evidence peripherally that it's possible. Certainly, when you think about life on Earth, it occurs in a tremendous variety. It occurs in places that we would consider to be uninhabitable. It is natural to think that it also occurs on other planets. It is also possible that other planets have been populated, have more advanced technology than we do. Now, specifically with regard to aliens, there's a lot of UFO evidence, and let's say even 90% or plus can be explained, weather balloons, etc. But some of it simply cannot be explained.
You mentioned that you have practiced levitation. May I ask, what have you levitated?
I levitated myself.
How amazing was that? Have you done it more than once?
I did it for years. Maharshi Mahesh Yogi, who was one of my two gurus, taught transcendental meditation and became literally a billionaire from it because he got a connection with the Beatles. The Beatles practiced it. And so he became famous, and in the 70s, set up a network of meditation centers throughout the USA and Britain, etc. In 1977, he came out with a course that taught what are called advanced sutras or techniques. One of those techniques was levitation, literally sitting in a yoga cross-legged pose where it would be impossible to lift the body up, and you basically hopped. And I went to that course, the first course in the U.S. that was available. I sat with a room full of men, and we were hopping on mattresses. And what happens when you do that, because to practice to actually get off the ground, and I'm talking cross-legged, sitting on my butt, leaping a foot and a half in the air up and 3 feet forward per hop, the bliss is just overwhelming. Maharshi also taught invisibility. He knew the sutra for it, but he didn't teach it because whereas flying had a 90% success rate, his invisibility sutra only had a 10% success rate.
Aishi Nobu, author of Besting Yourself, Gaining Power. If I want to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Go through my website, ishinobu.com. There's a contact form. I'll respond to you.
Ishinobu.com. I'm going to spell it for you. It's I-S-H-I-N-O-B-U. Like the overpriced sushi restaurant, ishinobu.com. Investing Yourself, Gaining Power. That is the name of his new book, Besting Yourself, Gaining Power. It's a great book written by a brilliant man. And I thank you very much for sharing this on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Thank you. We're going to go to the happiest place on Earth, Walt Disney World. I mean, you know, it's not going to be the happiest place on Earth if you're hearing a Florida story about it. But what we have is a curious case of reason 628 why I'm embarrassed to be a man. We have a Walt Disney World cast member who just lost his job because he was taking upskirt videos. Upskirt videos is exactly what it sounds like. This is exclusively dudes. They like to take videos of unsuspecting women up their skirt, and then they use it for self-gratification later. And the guy had like hundreds of these on his phone. And the cops asked him, why are you exploiting your position at Walt Disney World, you know, to be around people who are going upstairs in a vulnerable position and clothing that is heat compliant? And so there's a lot of skirts going on. And his explanation is just horrible. And he says, because I like it and it's really hard to find online. Well, yeah, because part of the appeal of this is that they don't know. And so now it's like super naughty. And it's like, what a weird thing. And I just want to point out that this is a dude only phenomenon. There are no chicks that are trying to sneak pictures of my drawers by putting a camera under my soccer shorts. It's just, guys, what's wrong with you or us or whatever? I mean, and then you add in the Florida aspect, so doubly weird. Ew.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's fourth installment of Florida Stories is still coming up. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and catch past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
If an exotic dancer opens up her set with a song like this, you know you're in for a real good time, and perhaps this gal is worthy of the $40 whatever you have to give her to go to the champagne room. Here are the list of most popular stripper songs. Hot in Here by Nelly. Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. Closer by Nine Inch Nails. This is a favorite of mine. Milkshake by Kellis. Yeah, you know what Milkshake's about? Yeah, I'm not saying it here. AC/DC's You Shook Me All Night Long. I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry. That sounds like that gal is ready for anything. Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. And one of my favorite hip-hop ones, I Love Dem Strippers, by the feller 2 Chainz and that wonderful lady with some wonderful cakes, Nicki Minaj. Wild Thing by Tone Loc is there. And, of course, Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe. If your exotic dancer gets on stage to one of these ditties, let me just tell you, you're in for a great time. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. We're going to Fort Lauderdale, and we're going to go back in time. We're going to go to 1990. A mom opens the door with her son standing behind her, and it's a clown. Why is a clown here in the middle of the day? It's not my birthday. Well, the clown shoots her dead. Uh-oh, what's going on? Well, the husband gets remarried soon after that. And as cold case DNA gets run through new databases in the modern computer age, some of these old pieces of evidence from 1990 turn up new hits. Well, this one does too. It looks like we found the guy who killed your first wife, Mr. Husband. Oh, who is it? It's your current wife. Uh-oh. Turns out that she was the mistress at the time, and the mistress wanted to have her lover. And so to get the wife out of the way, she dressed up as a clown, shot her, and got away with it up until about 6 years ago. So she gets arrested. She's put in jail, no bail. So she's been in jail for the last 6 years, and she finally pleads her case. She pleads guilty to murder. And in the case, in the agreement, she gets 12 years, which seems kind of light, but here's where it gets worse. For Florida's good behavior law, she can get that down to 8 years because she has had impeccable behavior for the 6 years that she's already been in custody. And that little over 6 years that she's already been in custody counts toward her now 8-year sentence. So she's going to be out in less than 2 years. So ladies, if you're the other woman and you have your eye on your lover and all you need to do is to get that silly wife out of the way, the trade-off is 8 years. Holy smokes. That seems a little low when you put it in that context and you put it in Florida
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
You and I need to stay in touch at all times, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And I've got an amazing website, waltersterlingshow.com. Waltersterlingshow.com. The greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.